This is episode 202, recorded March 31st, 2014.
Heartfelt greetings, Aquamaxers.
Yes, welcome once again.
Okay.
To the fun-filled antics of us.
We wanted to say something slightly different this week, so we just did.
Yeah, okay. I don't know that it was necessarily any better.
But it was different.
It was different.
So who's lined up this week?
We have Greg in Jamestown, California, and Tony in New York.
Cool.
And that's two.
Two?
See, one, two. Because it is the 202nd episode, so we have two people.
Well, I'm glad it's not the 12-ity tooth episode.
Well, in 10 more episodes, it will be the 12-ity tooth episode, and we will need to have 12 contributors.
Wouldn't that be the tootly tooth?
I don't know if you can say
tootly tooth. 12-ity tooth, I think, 12-ity... is 122.
12. Well, we already passed 12-ity tooth.
We did. Okay, it's okay. We're getting crazy now.
We're never crazy. What are you talking about?
Let's see what Greg in Jamestown says.
Completely sane.
Okay.
Okay. So, Greg in Jamestown has some questions for us. He sent us some pictures.
He did, which we have already looked upon and at.
Yes, we have. And will in the future, but by the time you get this, the present, have put them on the page for your viewing pleasure.
Yes.
Okay, two questions. Oh, yes, two. Two questions. Okay. Question number one. And you'll have to think carefully about your final answer, Aquamax, because $1 million is all
the Don't we wish.
Okay. Can different size angelfish be kept together? One fish is twice the size of the other three.
Okay, well,
and some of the pictures had his angelfish in them with the yardsticks. You could kind of get an idea of how big they were.
Right. Now let's go on to his next question and then his background, and then I'll get to my answers.
Oh, okay. Second question, what is this clearish stuff around this piece of manzanita, which you also need to refer to the picture for? It looks like some kind of slime coating in an, like, space alien movie.
Something like that, yes.
It looks weird.
Or ectoplasm from a ghost movie.
Yes, you need to call Tank Busters.
Or gelatin from a gelatin movie. Okay.
I think they only have gelatin commercials. I don't think they have gelatin movies.
That's too bad.
Yeah, maybe we'll make one. Okay, so he now has the story of the questions.
Okay.
It says, okay, now for the story of the questions. See, I was right. Please, here we go. Okay, I went to the local fish store a few weeks ago and I found an angelfish that I liked. And he says that's the first one ever.
Which I think he means the first angelfish he's ever kept, not the first one he ever liked.
Oh, I thought he meant the first one he ever liked.
I don't know. Maybe he did.
Maybe it's both.
Maybe both.
I got it and brought it home and it is all hunky-dory. And you get points, Greg, for using the phrase hunky-dory because that is a cool phrase. It is all hunky-dory, though the fish is close to outgrowing the community 25-gallon-long, very heavily planted tank. I'm in progress of setting up a dirted planted tank for my 6 tiger barbs and 2 black ruby barbs. They are in a 40-gallon now that is going to be dirted after I get the barbs out and the angels will go in there. I went to the local fish store again and got 3 half-black angels. The one I got before is over twice the size of the new ones. Do I need to grow the 3 to closer to the first one's size, the bigger one, or will they be okay together? Many weeks till the tank will be ready, but I've been looking for an answer to this question without luck. Even with all the info about angels out there, they just assume that you were talking about a pair or a group gotten at one time with some growing faster.
Mm-hmm.
And let's about get, the stick.
Yeah, about the wood.
It says the wood in the tank is in the tank that is cycling for the barbs. I haven't had this or seen this happen before, and it isn't happening to the whole stick. Interestingly, there are worms that come from having dirt in the aquarium, living and moving through it, through the jelly stuff.
The slimy stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he has an update to that.
Oh, yes. He says it is a few days later, and it is disappearing. The pond snails I have in the tank are all over it. It's nice that it's going away, but still curious as to what it is. So does he mean they're eating it?
Yes.
Oh.
They appear to be doing
Go,
so.
Go, snails!
Yeah. So, we've looked at the pictures already, haven't we? So,
let's talk about
angelfish first. Whether or not you can keep one larger angelfish with three smaller angelfish. Well, I guess I should give my disclaimer. Just because I've done it doesn't mean it works all the time. But I have done it, and it worked when I did.
There you go.
Okay.
I guess it would depend on how big the difference is
in yes,
the situation.
That's true. How big the difference matters. How big the difference in size between the individual fish matters. And I think angelfish kind of have enough piscinality that I would be cautious to just say my experience, you know, holds true all the time. I can't say that. Mm. But here are a couple things that could help. I think it's helpful that the large angelfish is the odd one out, that there are three smaller ones and one larger one. I think if it were the other way around, it might be a little more difficult.
Because they'd all pick on the small one if possibly there were three big ones and one small one.
They might. Or they might outcompete it, mm, you know, for food or different things like that. But because there's only one larger one and the three smallers, I think that helps. Also, if you had two larger ones and they had paired off, I would definitely not put smaller ones in there. Because they'd almost certainly be victims of the territorial aggression from the pair. But since the big one hasn't paired off and it's doubtful the small ones have this size and age, that you're probably okay to try it anyway. But some things you could think about that could help too. Since you said it will be many weeks before the tank is ready, you might not even have to worry about it so much by the time it's time to switch over. Because if your angelfish are getting enough healthy food, they'll be growing pretty fast. And they might have already caught up enough for it not to be so much of an issue.
So it might not even matter.
Right. Angelfish can get pretty big, but once they, you know, put on some growth for a while, they sort of slow down at least. A lot of fish never actually stop growing, and I'm not sure if angelfish actually completely stop ever or not, but they'll grow the fastest when they're youngest, so you may get them to be able to catch up enough so that it won't be an issue. And since you're going to be doing a lot of moving things around anyway, I would see if you could make it so that the younger, smaller angels are in the tank, the destination tank, first. And they have some time to get used to it.
They kind of already carve out a territory, so he's not... The bigger one isn't...
Isn't the... Yeah.
He's the new kid on the block.
Exactly. So the other fish have an idea of where the hiding places are, where the visual barriers are, and that sort of thing. They get used to that for a few days, and then you can introduce him.
Okay.
That can help reduce things. I mean, you still want to keep an eye on things, of course. Because you never really know. And especially, like I was saying, angelfish have a lot of piscinality. They've got differences in attitude and temperament and so on. So you just have to keep an eye on things to see what's going on. But I think it's worth a try. Like I said, I've done it. I've kept smaller fish with larger ones that didn't know each other before, and they did fine. Angelfish specifically. Mm-hmm. I didn't notice any issues. So there you go. Now, the wood with the clearish stuff. You know, I've encountered that before.
In our tanks?
In our tanks. It's been so long, though. I'm trying to think if it's even happened since we've been married or not.
I don't remember it, but...
But it has happened years before. And unfortunately, I'm not sure exactly what it is. I suspect that it is either fungal or bacterial.
I suspect, as I said before, that it is an alien invasion.
Okay.
Pond snails are actually the protectors of the planet.
They're the snails in black.
Yeah.
And they go around and flashy thingy everybody in the vase so they forget about their alien encounters.
Yeah.
In fact, what were we just talking about?
I don't know.
Okay. But I recall that it was quite temporary and it didn't cause a problem, and that mine too fell victim to the molluscan palates of our little snaily friends.
That was a pretty awesome sentence.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's what you get, I guess, when you just let
Molluscan.
Me go.
Molluscan,
yeah.
That's the word you don't encounter every day.
I suppose that's true, but...
Maybe... Oh, can we have an Aquarimax grammatical challenge? Everybody has to use the word molluscan in a sentence tomorrow. and report back about what sentence they said.
What people said to them?
Yeah. Like how many blank looks they got.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
That would be funny.
That would be funny.
Okay. I bet Tony will do it.
He might. So, I wish I could give you more specific information, but I think it's just there are nutrients in the wood that are reacting. You know, once the water gets in there and something is taking care of that, whether it's bacterial or fungal, and once the nutrients are exhausted and so on, it doesn't happen anymore, but the snails, in the meantime, get a bit of a feast. So,
so probably not anything to really worry about.
No, and I did a quick search before the podcast too to see if I could find any more, and I had some other people who were saying things like clearish slime growth on driftwood, and other people saying, well, you know, I've had that too and it never caused any problems.
So probably, especially since his is already starting to go away,
right?
Should be fine.
If any of you know what it is, though, it would be really cool to know exactly if it is a fungus or a bacterium, and if so, if you know what type, that would be even cooler. So, yeah. I just wish I could be more specific, but I can't. But speaking of specificity, I bet I know which local fish store he went to. Greg probably went to McLeod's, huh?
I bet he did.
But he did.
There aren't very many local fish stores in that area.
And every time we're in Sonora, we make a point to go to McLeod's. So hopefully that's where you went. If not, you got to let us know, because if there's another local fish store around the area, we need to go there. Yeah. So, okay. All right, so our next contributor is
Tony. Okay. And he says, hello, Aquarimax. Congrats again on your 200th show. It was so much fun hearing about the history of the show's beginnings, and hearing the original music was a real treat. $20 dreams. 6 years. Wow, so you're coming up on 6 years. You are amazing. Well, thank you very much. Thank you, too, for regaling us with tales of the freshwater seahorse from Lake Titicaca.
Well, thank you for finding them.
Mm-hmm. It was fun, too, listening to your experiences and tips regarding the Malaysian trumpet snails. I do have to admit, though, that I don't have an answer for my trouble with the Java moss. All I can think of immediately is that perhaps there's algae growing on it that it's impeding its growth. If that is so, I figured the Malaysian trumpet snails would eat the algae and solve that problem. My zebra nereids don't seem to do this since they're so big, at least not so often. This tank was once so full of Java moss that I could pull it out by the handful, now just a few lonely little patches. I have run the standard water test, and the tank is perfect in regard to all parameters. The bioload is very light, just 2 zebra nerites.
Oh,
it's pretty light.
There's a little light blink in the back of my head about the light bioload, so let's keep going, but we'll come back to that.
In the past, I was concerned about surface scum for this tank. I wanted to say that I haven't seen it in months, and that a stepped-up cleaning routine and also the addition of airstone seems to have solved that nicely. I also mentioned in the past that this tank had quite the population of seed shrimp and planaria going on. I also have not seen them in a very long time, and secretly I am starting to miss them. The tank is fed very sparingly, 1 algae pellet every 2 to 3 days, which seems to be plenty for my 2 zebra nerites. About 4 weeks ago, I replaced the fluorescent bulb in this tank with a new one. It is getting much more light now. I figured this might help the Java moss, and it is nice having a better view of the tank. I dose with Flourish Excel every 2 or 3 days. I wonder if dosing with the filter on is a problem? As far as CO2, I don't do anything special. The tank used to have almost no surface movement, which I'm sure kept more CO2 in the tank. Lately, the surface has lots of turbulence. I think that was a good move in order to address the surface scum, but would that have caused an issue for the Java moss? Since it is such an easy plant to handle, I assumed I wouldn't need to worry about that. And now that I think of it, the zebra danio tank at home has lots of water movement and is the picture of a perfect Java moss jungle. Oh! It's our alliteration award for the day!
There you go.
That was good.
Picture of a perfect Java moss jungle. Yeah, yeah, indeed.
That's good. He even capitalized him.
Mm-hmm. He was pointing that out in a subtle way.
Yeah. So, last thought. Is my bioload just not high enough? Is the Java moss suffering without enough fish in it? Maybe it depends on the nutrients? So I hope this sheds some light on my situation. I do have lots of debris, mostly plant pieces, in the sands and in the tank, but it doesn't seem to be harming anything since ammonia nitrates and nitrites are all in the good range. The Java moss has looked better, but the small dark clumps seem to be surviving. I have held off on adding fish or inverts since I want to see the Java moss bounce back first. It is a bit of a mystery. Thanks for your thoughts, and happy spring, your pal, Tony from New York. Yay, happy spring, because it is spring now. We had the first day of spring last week.
Although it snowed yesterday over here, didn't it?
Yeah, stupid snow.
Okay, well, let's go back over here, and there's a couple of things. One, I think the Java moss might actually be an issue. Not that Java moss can't survive in low bioloads, because it can, but
you mean the bioload might be an issue?
Yeah, might actually.
The Java moss might be an issue, and I think that is the issue.
Yeah, the Java moss is definitely the issue, but the bioload, sorry. The bioload could be something. It might just be too light, as Tony suggests.
Maybe it just wants some more fish poop.
Yeah, because if you think about the bioload in your tank, your daughter's tank with the Jabba Moss going nuts, what are the differences? Well, there's one of the differences.
Mm-hmm.
You've got several Zebradenios in there producing waste and some white clouds, if I remember right, too. So that makes a difference, possibly. Could be. And I mean, it sounds like an algae chip. I mean, what kind of algae chip or algae pellet is it? Is it one of the teeny wee ones or is it a bigger one? That could make a difference in the bio load and hence the nutrients. Java moss is usually not very demanding, but if it's really, really light, could be something. Also, the temperature could be something.
Did he say what is the temperature?
I don't recall what the temperature is. But most strains of Java moss will slow down the warmer it gets. Their growth will slow down quite a bit.
They like it cooler.
Like
if
you're at 70 degrees, it'll grow like hotcakes a lot of the time, and then you go up to 82, and it hardly grows at all, and it'll survive for a long time, but it just doesn't grow. That's a good question. I don't know why, but most mosses are like that, and some strains of Java moss are less like that than others. Like the strain that I have tends to do fairly well at, you know, around 80 or so. It'll still grow fairly well, and some others will do that too, and others will pretty much stop. So that's something to think about. Two things you might think about: the fact that you used to see more seed shrimp in planaria when the Java moss was doing well. That's an indication of being, you know, getting more food in the system, more nutrients in the system, and therefore it could be that there are not so many planaria and not so many seed shrimp because there aren't as many nutrients, which is also why the Java moss is suffering. Possible. The new bulb sounds like that's probably fine, though, and that could help. But Java moss can do an amazingly little light. And if the bulb is causing algae to grow on the Java moss, it'll probably be visible. And if it is doing that, that can be a problem. Definitely. But you can usually see it, at least in my experience. If you have an algae problem on Java moss, then you can see it growing on there. I think the Flourish Excel is a good idea. And I don't think dosing it with the filter on should be an issue, because the Flourish Excel, it's not actually carbon dioxide. It's just a carbon.
So it's not going to get like,
carbon in a different form that plants can use.
Water.
Right, so it's not going to be able to gas out because it's not a gas.
Okay.
Basically, in that form. But it's a different form of carbon that the plant can use as if it were carbon dioxide, more or less, because it's getting carbon. That's what it wants. And it's true that you probably did have more CO2 in the tank before when you had less surface turbulence. But, and that is a complex issue too, really, because when you are in a tank with heavy aeration, there you're going to be replenishing the CO2 at the constant rate that it gets from the atmosphere, which is going to be a lot lower than if you're injecting CO2. But it's still going to have that constant, you know, replenishment of CO2. It's just, it's going to be slow enough that it's going to be a limiting factor. You might actually consider doing some do-it-yourself CO2 injection if you really want it to take off. I mean, I've seen the difference between moss with CO2 injection and without it. Moss does fine without it, but it really takes off with it.
Did we do a how to do that episode way
we
back
did
when?
It's really ancient, but
maybe
you
we
could
should
do it.
Redo it
with a tank that big, though. This is the 6.6 gallon, I think, isn't it? If it is, you could do, you'd have to do a small setup, like a water bottle size one. You wouldn't want
not like a 2-liter soda bottle.
You wouldn't necessarily. You wouldn't want to set up two-liter soda bottles. It would be too much overkill, probably. But you could do like a couple water bottles hooked up to it, and that would work. And I mean, not that you necessarily want to do that, but if you really want to get the Java moss going, that'll help. But I don't think the aeration by itself would have been a problem at all. Just like Tony points out, his other tank has that going. The high aeration going in the tank is not a problem at all for Java moss, and I don't think it is either. So those are some things to think about. And I would, if I were in your position, I would go ahead and add some critters. and see if the bio load helps the java moss. That would be me.
Seems like a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And think about the temperatures I said, and see if you can decrease it a couple of degrees. It couldn't hurt. The java moss
depends on a little bit cooler.
Yeah, it depends on what you're putting in there. You don't want to kill anybody, but nerites are okay with fairly cool temperatures. They don't like it really hot, so that could help. It might be worth it.
Well, he's got nerites in there already.
Yeah, but I'm just saying you could turn the temperature down. It shouldn't hurt him.
Oh, okay.
And then guess what?
What?
Tony had a separate email for us.
Oh, with
some other information in it. Tony. Yep.
Okay. It says, he says, oh, that's right. When I heard the name $20 Dreams on episode 200, I said to myself, aha, that sounds familiar. Well, I remembered where I saw it before. Get this, the label on episode 8 is actually $20 Dreams rather than Aquarimax episode 8 Bristle Noses like one would expect. Just wanted to let you know that Aquarilad is on the case and has discovered the hidden Aquarimax Easter egg. Okay, so it took 5 years to do it, but ha ha ha, I am still claiming bragging rights for being your first. Just in time for Easter, too. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
We must have just mislabeled it.
I didn't realize I had done that. And I suppose this is coming from the ID3 tags.
Oh.
Not from the actual title of the podcast itself on the website, but if you look at the ID3 tags, like if you open it up in Windows Media Player or something, mm-hmm. it probably says that.
That's pretty funny.
Which is funny. But, yeah, thanks for noticing that. It's an unintentional Easter egg, but I think that's cool that
Sometimes
you found
those
it, Tony.
Those are the best ones, right?
Yeah. So, in a couple of weeks, guess what's coming up?
Do we have another hangout?
We have another hangout.
What day are we doing
it's
that?
It's Saturday, April 12th, I believe.
Okay.
7:30 our time, is that right?
Yes,
7:30 our time. So, be prepared, Aquarimaxers. We've had several people interested in participating. And so if you are interested in participating, just remember you need to send an email. And you need to join Google Plus if you're not already on it. And if you are on it, you need to add Aquarimax to your circles. And then you need to make sure you've downloaded the Google Live Hangout application that allows you to participate properly. And test and make sure you have a functional webcam and microphone that'll work with another Google Live Hangout with somebody else. And then just let us know that you want to join and join up.
And did Mick say anything about, like, possibly doing a video kind of tour of his new shop
which,
on the Hangout?
Yes, and I think that would be awesome. So I would love to do that. So if he's still interested in doing that and able to do that, I'll look forward to that.
Really cool.
And by the way, everybody, I found Mick's shop, Fangs and Fins, on Facebook and added it on our Aquarimax likes.
Oh, good.
And did a little blurb on it. Not, well, I didn't make the blurb. I just posted their blurb on our Aquarimax page.
Okay.
So if you'd like to do Mick a bit of a favor and help boost their store, their store's online presence, go to their site.
Which
you can get through Aquarimax. And go to Fangs and Fins and like them. Like their page, like stuff they have on their page. Mm-hmm. It'll really help boost their visibility, specifically for those of you who are in the UK, but anybody else too. Just, you know, if you want to do that. And they have a cool store and they have some cool posts up there. They have pictures of leopard geckos and different things. So it's fun. So if you'd like to help them out, please do. It would be cool.
Indeed.
And was there anything else I was going to say?
Let's see.
Yeah. I've just been shipping lots of Daphnia and amphipods lately. It's 'tis the season to ship crustaceans. And it's been
good. 'Tis the season it's been to good. Ship crustaceans.
So,
I'm
looking forward to not having to line the boxes with polystyrene, however. I can tell you that.
Yes, it's much easier when you don't have to.
Yeah, because it's messy. But it's nice to be able to be in that season when you can ship stuff again. More easily. I mean, you can always ship it, but it's just less of a risk shipping it in this weather than it was when it was, you know, minus 20 or whatever it was in the middle of the winter. As one of the signs of spring for an aquarist, if you can start shipping things more easily. So, we will look forward to the live hangout for those of you who can join us. And for those of you who can't join us or just want to listen in, remember you can do that too, and we will post the audio portion of the live hangout as a podcast, but also make a link so you can watch the video if you'd like to do that. Because there are going to be some cool things like to see mix shop, or if anybody else wants to do some show and tell of their tanks, that sort of thing. So we're looking forward to that, and until next time, Aquariumaxers.
May the fish
be with you.